Welcome to What's Ailing the World. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is the critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, as when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I had to face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to do the opposite of the Hippocratic oath taken to first do no harm. Please check out my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. You can click on the services section to learn how I do consults. My other website is drcarley.com, which has some more strongly worded documents, such as inoculations are true weapons of mass destruction, causing an epidemic of genocide. If you're early into checking out what vaccines really do, start with the reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com site. I call that my Dr. Carley Light site. And certainly that's the one you should suggest to people who are just trying to open their eyes as to what's really going on with the vaccine situation. On both of these sites, you can find the diagrams I developed back in 1999. The first one is called The Big Picture. It's the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. And you can also click on the YouTube link, which has my series of a talk I gave in Chicago in 2008, where I'm explaining the diagrams. Of course, in 2006, I posted a $10,000 reward on drcarley.com for any white coat or vaccine promoter to come on one of my shows and refute anything I've said in those documents. Of course, to this day, I've received no takers to this challenge. And I always tell people, don't believe anything I or my guests say. You have to check things out for yourself, because we have been lied to about everything. But I have been investigating these various atrocities for over 15 years, and my goal is to start you on your journey. Not to fill you with fear, because, of course, that's not the intention of this information. This information is life-saving. You have to realize what's being done to your air, your food, your water, your bodies, your health, and take your own steps. Check things out for yourself. Do what you find out and what your, you know, very being leads you to do. You know, you can tell when somebody's telling the truth. At least I can. Of course, I've been detoxing for many years. You know, you just get that knowing that this person is giving you truthful information. And, of course, it's time for us to take action. Just knowing the truth will not set you free. We have to act on the truth. Very important to do that. And we have to overstand the puppet masters, which will allow us to see the master template of their crimes against humanity, as well as how they use psyops operatives to divide and distract people of conscience. We can then cease being prey and destroy the predator bloodline psychopaths that have created a hell on earth. And if you're afraid, I ask you to please go to YouTube. One of my listeners just sent me some videos by an amazing medical doctor. Her name is Dr. Rayuni, R-A-U-N-I, Kilde, K-I-L-D-E. She has many series up there. I suggest you start with Do Not Fear Death, because we have to stop being afraid and realize that if we do nothing, of course, this hell is going to get much worse. She also has an excellent series on mind control. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. And as I said, on the reversingvaccineinducediseases.com site, you can click on the services tab to learn how I do consults. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, because strange things happen on a regular basis, have the operator dial the number for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you, how to reverse your disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 0208-144-3781 or Skype the producers of the show at TCT, that's for these changing times, TCT-calls, all lowercase. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever's speaking. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com to learn how to obtain the generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. Because the Fraudulent Drug Administration is trying to take colloidal silver off the market. They have already deemed it a pesticide. If you have your own generator, of course, then you will have access to it for the rest of your life. So that's one of the most important things, in my opinion, that anybody can do to protect themselves. And I just want to mention, I know a lot of you are always asking me to do shows on vaccines. I've done hundreds of shows on vaccines, but on the lightofdayradioshow.com within the next couple of days, there's going to be posted a show I did yesterday morning on OrionTalkRadio.com. I sat in for Tim Watson, and I did the show on a update show on vaccines for that show. So I know a lot of you like to hear that information. And one of the things I covered, let me just mention quickly, because this just shows you how far they're going, folks. As I had reported to you previously, if you go to the Centers for Disease Creation, that's CDC, and you go to a page entitled Social Media Preparedness 101 Zombie Apocalypse, this is an article written by someone who graduated with me from Downstate Medical School in Brooklyn. His name is Ali Khan. Interesting how he went to the dark side and I'm doing what I'm doing. But he's talking about the zombie apocalypse. Very strange thing for the CDC to be writing about on May 16th, 2011. And he talks about certain viruses which could cause a zombie-type situation. And in that article, he mentions rabies and measles. Well, guess what, folks? It has begun. And let me just see where you can go to for this article. On the zombie apocalypse is happening now in Uganda. Okay, I don't see the source. Oh, okay, here we go. Rawstory.com. Rawstory.com. The title is Mysterious Zombie Disease Afflicts Thousands of Ugandan Children. And, in fact, children there are becoming rabid-like animals. I can assure you this is vaccine-induced, and I'm sure they're probably giving these children rabies, as they're giving to many of the military in their vaccines as well. And the children are gnawing like animals. They become restless, can't concentrate. Then they start nodding their head. Their nervous system self-destructs. They go into epileptic seizures, and then they die. So that's what's happening in Uganda. So I guess my classmate Ali Khan must be a psychic or something. And this is no joke, folks. But like I said, this is not about fear. Get yourself a colloidal silver generator. And then you can also protect yourself from the rabies they're spraying on nature in an oral rabies vaccine, they call it, called Raberol, which is actually being sprayed from planes, dropping little packets. And, of course, this is going to spread rabies throughout the countryside. And then when they find a rabid animal in your area, they will say, oh, make sure you get your pet vaccinated. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing the world, is agency-sanctioned poison in our food. And my special guest is Dr. Betty Martini. She has been researching the poison called aspartame for decades, and we're going to be talking about that subject as well as some other really outrageous things that are happening, like using aborted fetuses to make a flavor enhancer, and now they've developed an even worse poison than aspartame called Neotame. So it never ends. This is how the FDA is protecting you people while they're labeling colloidal silver a pesticide, which there's never been any pathogen tested that has been able to not be killed by colloidal silver with no side effects. They are making all these drugs available to the people to be poisoned with. And, you know, it's time for us to get outraged because it's getting worse every day. And I'm so uplifted. I've known Dr. Martini for some time. And I just want you to know there's lots of us, you know, finding our own area of interest, spreading the word about that area, and it's going to take a grassroots movement. You cannot write to the traitors in the District of Criminals who are being funded by Big Pharma and all these other companies. They've already sold us out. That should be self-evident to you if you have any working neurons in your brain at all. It's going to take people educating each other and not buying this crap. And, of course, one of the things we'll discuss is how they also hide it because lots of people are waking up to what's going on with this stuff. And so that's another thing they're allowed to do is just change the name of all these things. So welcome to the show, Dr. Martini. And could you just give the big picture of yourself? How did you become interested in studying aspartame and the documentation that you've had in regards to how toxic this poison is just mind-boggling. I want to suggest that everybody go online and watch a documentary called Sweet Misery, which will give you the history of how this poison was approved and how Donald Rumsfeld was involved. Maybe if you could start out by giving your websites and then just share with the listeners, how did this become your area of interest? Take it away.
My website is Mission Possible World Health International, but because it's so long, to get to it, it's www.mpwhi.com. And my email address is bettym19@manspring.com. And if there are things you can't remember from the show, you can email me for the aspartame resource guide, which will give you the history, some videos, all the medical text on it, everything that you need to know, how to get it out of your state. And it will also connect you to other websites like the Aspartame Toxicity Center so that you can get all the information that you like. Actually, I've been doing this 20 years, and I was retired. My husband's a minister, but not in our religion. Ministers are not paid. Freely you receive, freely give. So we had a company. He says, look, I'm going to show you the world now. And just about that time, we had a dear friend who had just been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and his arms and legs were swinging out, almost hit me in the face. I had to jump back. He could hardly speak. Think of Michael Fox, who was a Diet Pepsi spokesman. And so anyway, there was a doctor visiting me, and so, you know, he said that he asked me, did I know anything about NutraSweet? And I said, well, I've heard about it. I haven't researched it a whole lot. And so he said, ask him if he's using it. And then I asked to be referred to the world expert, who is Dr. H.J. Roberts, who has now written the 1,000-page medical text on it, which he dedicated to me. But back then, he said, Betty, he's probably drinking a Diet Coke, taking it with his L-Dopa. And sure enough, that's what he was doing. And he got off of it, and all those symptoms completely disappeared. And so I read Dr. Roberts' first book and found out it caused seizures and MS. And I would tell MS people, get off the aspartame, and they would walk out of wheelchairs. People who had seizures, the seizures would disappear. Any of the symptoms that you see on the FDA list of 92 symptoms, although it does include death, you know, you would see people with them and say, look, are you on aspartame? Get off of it. And sure enough, all the symptoms would completely disappear. So then I said, I called him back. I said, Dr. Roberts, are we talking about a global plague here? And he said, yes, we are, everywhere. And so I talked to my husband, and he says, well, we can't love our neighbor as ourselves if we cannot, if we have this knowledge and don't share it with the world. So he allowed me to use the money that he retired with when he sold his company to start Mission Possible International, and today it's in 43 countries. We all work free. But if we had not done it, and it took the, you know, all these other countries as teamwork to help, because nobody speaks all the languages, millions more would have died. In fact, when I was in Barcelona to see Dr. Alemany, who did the CROCO study, which shows that aspartame embalms living tissue and damages DNA, the first thing he said to me as I walked in his office was, Betty, aspartame is going to kill 200 million people. And today, incidentally, Dr. Roberts is 86 or 87, and he has now sent me his 30 years of research on aspartame. So I believe that we have it all, and we just, including the studies that birth defects that the FDA sealed and hid, and four of them are in the new book that's written by Dr. Woodrow Monte, While Science Sleeps, and they blew up his house. You know, when he was getting the information out many years ago, because he lived in Arizona, and you know how hot it gets, and at 86 degrees, aspartame breaks down. So you put Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi in front of a 7-Eleven and got formaldehyde cocktails. So
I just need to ask you some questions as we go. And let me just mention, of course, that, you know, diet sodas is one of the things that they're giving the troops. It's part of the toxic cocktail besides the vaccines and the anti-malaria drugs that cause you to become psychotic and all this stuff. So I always want to mention the military, because obviously they're being used as experimental guinea pigs. But I'm very curious, how did Dr. Roberts figure this out? Because it sounds like he was the pioneer in this area. And, of course, let me also mention that aspartame was never mentioned in medical school. I'm sure you won't be surprised by that.
Of course.
But how did Dr. Roberts figure this out? This is amazing.
Well, because he's an endocrinologist. And guess who they push it on is diabetics. And he thought when it was put out, he said, oh, my word, you know, here we have something good for diabetics, because that's the way that it was exposed. And then he found out that, if you want to kill a diabetic, I mean, this is the way to do it, because, first of all, it not only precipitates diabetes, but it simulates and aggravates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy. It destroys the optic nerve, causes diabetics to go into convulsions, interacts with insulin, and the free methyl alcohol causes them to lose limbs. So immediately, when he started giving it to diabetics, he saw all these things, and he did actually what I do. You know, when people don't believe it, I say, hey, just take the 60-day no aspartame test and see. And they might have all kinds of horrible symptoms, and they just disappear, and they know. And that's what he did. And on rechallenge, he could bring them back. And allergists do the same thing. I once worked with an allergist, and call it, you know, the add back system. In other words, they start taking away everything that you're taking until your symptoms disappear. Then they add it back to your diet, and if your symptoms come back, they know they found the culprit, because in many cases, oh, let's take orris root. It's an ingredient of an ingredient, and you might not even know what it is. So that's the system used, and that's the system that Dr. Roberts used, and he's trained doctors, and he really got involved because this is, you know, it was destroying his diabetic patients.
And he wanted to actually help people rather than just be a mouthpiece for the, you know, big pharma conglomerates that control medical education. So, you know, that's, he's one of the good guys, obviously.
Right. And then, you see, the problem is, take the American Diabetes Association, and we walk with the diabetics and give them the information. I remember the first time I ever did that, I had long stem yellow roses, and sympathy cards with black lace, which were packets for the press, because it was in remembrance of a woman who had died from aspartame. And the American Diabetes Association saw those yellow roses and welcomed us. And then they looked at the material and called the police, and the police looked at the material and said, this is public property. They're trying to help these people, and we're not going to ask them to leave. They have every right to be here. And then what would happen was, you know, a couple of weeks later, you'd start getting all these calls from diabetics and said, hey, we got your material, and we got off of aspartame. All our symptoms have disappeared. And mm-hmm. So, you know, that's so then back in 2004, somebody sued the American Diabetes Association for racketeering, for, you know, telling people that, and of course, you know, they're powerful and they got out of it, but the thing of it is, they're still telling them. In other words, they have full knowledge. Sometimes you see them wearing equal shirts because they are funded by the manufacturer, so they can either do this, they can warn the diabetics so they won't get sick and die, or they can continue to take money from industry, and of course, they selected taking money from industry. I call them the ladies of the evening.
Well, let me just also point out, Dr. Martini, this is not just true for the Diabetes Association. Every single one of these associations, the Multiple Sclerosis Society, it's all the same thing. The American Cancer Society is at the top of the heap. And, of course,
yes.
Even places like Susan G. Komen Walk for the Cure, I actually called them at one point and said, well, you know, what do you spend the donations on? And besides their six-figure CEO salaries, they try to help women get mammograms, which, of course, mammograms cause cancer. So,
I got a better story for you.
Okay, well, let me just say, what these associations do is make sure they never go out of business by hiding the truth about the very condition that they're purporting to, you know, try to research and end. But go ahead, tell your story.
All you got to do is mention Komen, and I just get very, very upset, because this was after I had cancer and cured it with an herbal formula, no problem whatsoever. And I had just given a speech in front of the Capitol with Dr. Priestley, who is she lives in Alaska now. Anyway, and about how chemotherapy doesn't work, and especially on breast cancer, and she got up and confirmed that. And so I had this speech that everybody was asking for. And also the aspartame information, because it caused, you know, memory tumors besides breaking down to a brain tumor agent and all these other cancers. And so we were giving those out and the speech and whatnot. So anyway, the Komen people came up to us, and this woman was just furious. And she said, you have got to leave. You cannot be here. And I said, we're on public property, lady. But I was with a lady, Michelle, who's particularly feisty. And she turned around to him. She says, do you really want to cure cancer? Or you just want the money for yourself, bigger bonuses? She says, we don't care about cancer. We want the money for ourselves. Now leave.
Wow.
Now, that came from Komen, out of the mouth of one of their employees. So I got on the Internet after that. and found out, one of the organizations wrote and exposed them and says, you know, they are owned by the people that make the poisons that, they give it to you in the first place. But, I went into some detail about them because I knew everything you said is absolutely correct. All the organizations, we've dealt with all of them. In fact, one of the ways that aspartame got around the world was because of, I don't know if you remember the Nancy Markle issue, but it was in newspapers all over America and all over the world. And it was because I had lectured for the World Environmental Association. And I was on a list of neurologists, and I was explaining to them that there was an epidemic of MS. And Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a world-leading neurosurgeon, wrote about it. Dr. Roberts wrote about it.
Right. Let me mention, his name is Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills.
The Taste That Kills. That's
what
he wrote.
Yeah, that's an excellent book. I have that, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he's written two other excellent books, one on cancer, too. And one of them is on nutrition. They're excellent. They're on the aspartame resource guide. But anyway, they got on there, and finally, these neurologists just didn't want to believe anything. And finally, I said, look, I just have lectured for the World Environmental Agency, and I want to tell you everything that aspartame does. You're just not correct. And I went on and on and on and just went into everything. Somebody put their name on it, took my name off of it by the name of Nancy Markle, put a very radical title on it about the MS people and in collusion with the FDA or something. And radical titles are always written, and it went from country to country to country. And the MS people, they were just absolutely terrible. You know, somebody called up and says, our attorneys are looking for Betty Martini. And I says, well, did you tell them they'd answer my letters? They'd be able to find me. And it took years for them to get in touch because they knew that it mimics and that it does precipitate MS. But the hundreds of MS people that read that and got off of aspartame and walked out of wheelchairs is unbelievable. The cases were coming in every 2 minutes. In fact, I have never, ever put call waiting back on my phone. I called a call interruption because I couldn't talk to anybody. The phones would ring. People would call in languages around the world, which showed us just exactly, you know, how epidemic that aspartame really is. And in every case, even somebody who had MS before they used MS, before they used aspartame, called me, and she was crying. She said, do you know that when I got off of aspartame, she said, for the first time in years, I could feel my limbs. I mean,
wow.
People were just absolutely hysterical. Even the CDC called, you know, and she says, do you know that there is mass hysteria because of your post? I said, well, mass hysteria is a whole lot better than death. And I said, I'm doing your work. You did the investigation, the damning investigation, and then you put a phony summary on it that contradicted your report, your own fault. And that's, incidentally, in the movie Sweet Misery. And I show the actual 142-page report that the CDC did showing you how many people lie. But if you go to their website, you'll only see the phony summary.
Right.
So,
okay, wait, I want to bring something up because, like I always tell people, it's always the big picture. I've reversed many cases of MS by detoxing vaccines, and, of course, I always teach people to get off the aspartame, and you can detox the aspartame because definitely, you know, they find demyelination when they do brain scans of people. But one of the things I learned from you is that they're also putting aspartame in vaccines. Now, what is up with that? Obviously, they're actually intentionally causing allergies to it to make it more damaging. But as I've said many times, who cares what your vaccine tastes like? It's being injected into you. If we could just sidebar for a moment, did you ever find out any excuse that they give for putting aspartame
in? Well, I knew immediately why. I knew immediately why. Here is something that I didn't even know for the first 5 years I did this. As I said, I've been doing this for 20 years until Dr. James Bowen, who used to write reports all the time, actually still does. He has ALS from aspartame. And you can read about it. In fact, you can Google it or get it off my website, Aspartame Murders Infants. I did not know, and I bet you 99% of the population doesn't know, that aspartame is not only, an excitoneurotoxic carcinogenic genetically engineered drug, it is an adjuvant. Mm. Adjuvant, of course, is an immune stimulator, and that's what's like. Dr. Blaylock, when he's talking about ALS and the anthrax vaccine that was given in the military, they were getting it both ways. This is, it's a squalene. That's an adjuvant. Well, aspartame is an adjuvant, and aspartame, while it damages the mitochondria or the, powerhouse of the cell, it interacts with drugs. It also interacts with vaccines. So it's a double whammy wherever you go. And so one time, someone asked him the same question on another radio show. I said, it's an adjuvant. And he said, aspartame's an adjuvant. I said, yes, sir, it certainly is. He says, no wonder they put it in vaccines.
Well, as I said, though, there's also going to be an allergic aspect to it because by injecting it into you, they're sensitizing you to that, so if you take it orally, you're going to have an even bigger effect. I don't know how much it's going to take for people to wake up and realize they are making you sick on purpose. I mean, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's why these agencies that we're spending our hard-earned dollars to fund, who are doing the exact opposite of protecting us. I don't know what's going to take to shut these agencies down, but more and more people are waking up. We have an international audience, so this information is very important because the aspartame situation, and actually I'd like to ask you to just as quickly as you can give the big picture of the corruption and fraud in the fact that this toxic poison was even approved by the FDA to begin with. Because, and as I said, that's in the documentary Sweet Misery. All of you need to watch that. You can access it online. But if you could just tell the listeners how scandalous that situation in itself is, and, of course, Donald Rumsfeld's participation.
It's like reading about the Twilight Zone is so bad. And I just want to add one other thing in what you were talking about, people being sick. Once you've used aspartame, you're usually chemically hypersensitive for life. That's how bad it is. And the FDA knew it. And back then, the FDA was, they call it the old FDA and the new FDA. Well, back then, the old FDA, did try to stop poisons. And it was more than not approving aspartame. They tried to indict G.D. Searle because they were trying to make this poison show safety, and they couldn't do it. And they were doing things like, when the rats developed brain tumors, they'd excise the brain tumors, put the rats back in the study. The rats would develop, the rats would die, and they would resurrect them on paper. So they asked prosecutor U.S. Sam Skinner to indict them, and instead he went to work for Sidley and Austin, the defense attorneys. And so they asked William Conlon, another U.S. prosecutor, to indict him. And he, too, went to work for Sidley and Austin, and the statute of limitations expired. But the FDA was absolutely not going to approve it, and they revoked the petition for approval, which you will find on our website on one of the banners. And it was Dr. John Olney, and James Turner, the attorney that tried to prevent the approval because Dr. Olney says, you know, birth defects are a given, you know, and as compounded with MSG, you know, they're not going to have a chance. And you will read his 49-page report also on the front of the website. Searle knew, you know, they'd spent $17 million for a plant. They knew there was no way to get this approved. So they brought in Don Rumsfeld. And Don Rumsfeld said, no problem. I'll call in my markers and I will get it, you know, marketed. And so when they revoked the petition for approval, Searle filed suit, and Rumsfeld was on President Reagan's transition team. And so the day after Reagan took office, Reagan owed him a favor, and I can only tell you that I've read about it. It was that Reagan was supposed to nominate Rumsfeld for vice president, and he didn't. He got Bush. And so he owed him a favor. And so Reagan had someone on the transition team called FDA Commissioner Jerry Goyen at 3 in the morning, and I have a letter on our website from his wife confirming this, and fired him because he would have signed that into law. And then, this is where we get to the Twilight Zone, he actually wrote an executive order making the FDA powerless to do anything about aspartame until he could get someone there as a new FDA commissioner to overrule the Board of Inquiry, who was Arthur Hull Hayes, one of Rumsfeld's buddy when, you know, when he was Secretary of Defense, who worked there. So anyway, and in fact, Arthur Hull Hayes knew Dr. Stoller, who's one of our doctors, who wanted to know how bad it was. But anyway, he went to the FDA, and he overruled the Board of Inquiry and got it on the market. And his reward was that he went to work for the PR agency of the manufacturer at $1,000 a day on a 10-year contract and has never spoken out since. That's how it got on the market. And, of course, then there were 3 congressional hearings because people were going blind, having seizures, getting MS, and all these other things. And by that time, Monsanto had bought it in 1985, and people like Senator Orrin Hatch were paid. And the bill that was written by Metzenbaum to have NIH do independent studies on what they were seeing in the population, which had to do with the fetus, behavioral problems, seizures, drug interaction, et cetera, and it never got out of committee. And that's how it got on the market. Not through science, but the political chicanery of Don Rumsfeld, and Olney went so far as to say, look, I've had enough to Searle. You're going to do studies in my lab so I can oversee what you're doing. And sure enough, they show brain damage, and he thought, well, it'll never be approved. And they never gave the information to the FDA. So now we have this.
And this is the pattern in practice. This is the new FDA, revolving door with big pharma and big corporations, especially like Monsanto, you know, allowing GMO food and all the rest of the stuff that's poisoning the people. And as I always say, this is what we're paying our taxes for. But in my opinion, this aspartame situation is one of the most blatant. And that is waking up a lot of people, I know. Now, how did other countries buy into this poison? I mean, because it's an epidemic now, as you said, around the world. Other countries are not as corrupt as our country in terms of the agencies committing treason against the people. How did this spread like wildfire?
Well, I'm really glad you asked me that, because I really wanted to bring up this point. If any country knew that the FDA wanted them indicted for fraud and what went on, they obviously, you know, would not approve it. So let's take England, how it got approved in England, because they wanted to rubber stamp it around the world, is that they made a business deal with this Dr. Paul Turner, no relation to James Turner, in the agency there, and without anybody knowing it, and approved it in England. And the interesting thing about it is that Parliament had a big blowout. They were absolutely furious, and the story was in The Guardian. And so, you can Google how did aspartame get approved in England, and it'll pick up also the Guardian letter. So the only thing is, Parliament did not rescind the order and allowed it on the market. And, it's hard to believe, but then, of course, all these problems happened in England, and they started food standards to get away from industry, and they're still in bed with industry, too. And, in fact, I even went over there when there was a review, and I was stopped by immigration. They didn't ask my name or who I was, took my suitcases, opened them up, took everything out that had anything to do with aspartame, put me in a cell for 3.5 hours and asked me questions like, you know, if we allow you in England, how many people will find out about the dangers of aspartame? I says, you know, I came over to help you people, but you're between a rock and a hard spot, because if you send me back to America, I'm front page news in England. So what do you want to do? Well, it's a long story, but they let me go, and I did go over to Brussels with Louis D. Mawson, and I did talk to the UK, I mean, talk to the European Union, and brought them all this damaging information so they would know how aspartame got approved. They would know. I brought them information on how they fixed the studies. And Dr. Walton's paper that he did for 60 Minutes showing that 92% of all independent studies show the problems. And so what they did is eliminate all that, of course. Only one person made that decision. And the Commission on Foods was eliminated, and they set up EFSA, the European Food Safety Authority. And they, you know, half of the people there are connected to industry. And when Dr. Siffredi did a study showing aspartame to be a multi-potential carcinogen, oh, they used excuses that were absolutely absurd. Well, the rats had respiratory disease, and Dr. Siffredi said, of course they did. They were dying. That's the dying process. You know, it was for the whole lifetime of the rat. It was silly. And then finally, Dr. Coder, who was head of the EFSA, resigned and put out a press release. We were pressured by industry to hijack science. So that tells you one thing, which I have found out since I lecture around the world, is that the aspartame industry has strong ties to the, to all these agencies. And then Jim McDonald, who has now the UK Aspartame Awareness Association, he'd been working 35 years with methanol, it's a metabolic poison that's in aspartame.
Let's just tell the listeners, because you talk so fast, I want to make sure they get this, that aspartame actually breaks down into methanol, which is alcohol that's a poison to the system, as well as formaldehyde, correct?
Right. But let me just explain it this way. It's a methyl ester, and the methyl ester immediately becomes free methyl alcohol, and then the industry would tell you, call up Ajinomoto and say, hey, you know what? I found out there's methanol in aspartame. They'll say, oh, well, more methanol in oranges than there is in aspartame. They do that to mislead you, because in oranges or in nature, methanol is always accompanied by ethanol, which is the classic antidote for methanol toxicity, and takes it out of your body. And it's also bound to pectin. And in aspartame, it's free, and it converts into formaldehyde and embalms the body. And even in Dr. Roberts' medical text, there's a page on pre-embalming. It causes sudden cardiac death, it embalms you, and it kills you.
Right. And it's also in vaccines for formaldehyde. Okay, so please continue with what you're talking about, because this is so important, how this plague has been allowed to spread throughout the world. So I'm sure once the traders in the U.K., were paid off to allow this to go through, then that's used kind of as a stepping stone for other countries, right? It's like, well, it's been passed through the U.S. and the U.K., and so other countries are just going to say, okay, it must be good.
Okay. One other thing, though, about what is going on in the U.K., because this is very interesting, is that Jim McDonald has put out a lot of information in Scotland and in England about this, about the methanol being 35% too high and how serious it is, and so there is a review. So it's under review right now. Right now, it is under review, and if they can, you know, they're trying to get Parliament to know. Because here's what happened: the EFSA had already done a review and said it was safe, of course, because of their industry. But then Parliament said, "Hey, wait a minute! Wait! Here you got a study in Denmark: 60,000 women shows that aspartame jumps preterm birth 78%, and then of course they." Inject them with vaccines, and I won't go into all that, but they are all the other studies showing strokes and heart attacks, and so all these, and obesity, and one of them showing it raises fasting blood sugar, of course, and so Parliament says, you go back, and you do this review again. Well, that's what is going on right now in the UK, and in the meantime, Boots Sanders says, hey, we're going to do a study. But they're having the hardest time of people that used aspartame had a reaction, because once they've had a reaction, they never want to go back. They never want to go back again and go through it. Like a woman with MS, the doctor says, the neurologist says, I'm not going to put this on your paper unless it can be proven. And the only way it can be proven is for you to go back and use it again. And she says, I can't, you know, I just couldn't go into the horrible problems I had. She finally did, and all the symptoms came back, and the papers, and the neurologist says, now I'm going to do a study, and he immediately told all of MS patients, get off of aspartame. Okay, that takes care of the UK, so I went to New Zealand, and I went to see Food Standards, Food Standards said, they gave me this paper and this paper and this paper, and I said, all these are false. Well, why? I said, because I have the documents. Here they are. And finally realized I was telling the truth, and I said, why did you approve it here in New Zealand? He said, well, I have to be honest, we never did any studies here. We relied on your FDA. So you
right.
Could see it was rubber stamped around the world. And that is the problem. And they did get it out of Romania because of the cancer. I testified before the Senate and the House in New Mexico. They tried to ban it. I wish you could have seen the lobbyists and the attorneys down there and what they were doing. I mean, it's so hard to do it. Twice they tried to get it out of Hawaii. They've tried for years to get it out of the Philippines. They cried in Indonesia, and this is the problem that we're having, is this strong association of Ajinomoto. And one of the reasons that they do not want it off the market is because, like, here in Atlanta, somebody said, hey, let us help you. And they put out a brochure. They said, give me 16 of your worst papers, and they put out a brochure called Killer Koa. You know, and I gave them one of the articles, how aspartame was listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons submitted to Congress, somebody who died, somebody wrote on diabetes, and so they gave it out by the thousands and thousands and thousands, and people who had been going to doctors for years and still didn't know what was wrong, you know, got off of it just because they read that brochure, and then after about 60 days, which is where we got the 60-day no aspartame test, you know, they called me and said, you won't believe what's going on down here. I said, yes, I would. My address, my telephone number is not in your brochure. I said, I opened the door, and a woman fell into my arms and said, I was blind, and now I can see, which is what happens if vision's still in the wet stage, if the methanol blinds, but you can get your sight back. But she said, the MS victims are walking out of wheelchairs. People are coming in here by the thousands, people with fibromyalgia, joint pain, headaches. She said, I think I'm in the resurrection. She says they're in a state of shock that all they did was get off aspartame. Can you imagine that happening around the world?
Well, and I just want to say, first of all, I have to underline what you said about it being a potential bioweapon. I hope you all caught that because Dr. Martini talks so fast. There's so much information to give you. But, of course, I can just picture all of the medical societies and the different groups in the different countries saying, there's a threat to our incomes here. And that's what's really disgusting. I would love to be a fly on the wall as the patients go into their doctor's office and say, you know, you idiot, why didn't you tell me about this potential poison that I was ingesting with these known side effects, and look at me now that I've taken myself off it. And I can just picture them saying, well, it's just a coincidence, you know, just like they say, it's just a coincidence that you got autism after vaccines and all these other things. Coincidence has become the new mantra for medicine. But did you ever get any stories from people that told their doctors, because obviously they're totally ignoring these people, they're not warning other clients that they should get off this poison, correct?
Right. And here's another problem. A lot of people do not know. I know I was in California with this doctor who originally told me about it. And I said, what are we going to do today, doc? He says, we're going to the hospital. I said, why? He says, because all these doctors are hooked on aspartame and they're operating. And I'm going to show you where their mailboxes are, and we are going to educate a hospital. And so I have found over the years, you know, that doctors get addicted to it too. And here's how it's done. For it, this methanol is classified as a narcotic. It causes chronic methanol poisoning. This affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. That's why it is a cash cow. And I have argued with physicians, and I was on Dr. Bill Deagle's radio program one day, and I said, they're so unrational. He says, well, of course they're unrational. Aspartame first affects the frontal lobes, and it's like talking to somebody who's had a lobotomy. Mm-hmm. And that is something that nobody knows, and why it's so hard to get these people off, besides the fact they go to such horrible withdrawal, which is why we have an aspartame information list on our website, you know, to help them off of it. And I have talked to doctors, but there have been some that have seen their patients get well off of it. And today it is spreading like wildfire. I mean, there's a clinic here in Atlanta someone was telling me about. You walk in and one of their questions is, are you on aspartame? Well, yes, I am. I drink Diet Pepsi. I'm sorry, we can't see you until you're off of it. They won't even take the patients. So that is going on. But one of the worst things, and, you know, between aspartame and vaccines, you know, it's pretty rough, but one of the most despicable things that the FDA did, and I hope one day that you will interview Dr. Woodrow Mani, who wrote the new book, is that they made a deal with the manufacturer that they would not allow anybody to see the studies that showed aspartame causes birth defects big time. And we couldn't get them. I mean, it was, so, you know, at one time people were using 70% of the United States was using aspartame, and they were using it when they were pregnant. And, of course, that's why it's been announced we have an epidemic of autism. So between the vaccines and aspartame, a baby absolutely just doesn't have a chance. But Jerome Bressler did the famous Bressler report about all the skullduggery. And so I called and thanked him when he retired, and he said, Betty, you know, the FDA has sealed two of the worst studies, the teratology studies. And he says, and the world needs to be alerted. You've simply got to find them. And, you know, I did, and Dr. Blaylock, Dr. Roberts called them. I didn't want to be the only one that knew that. And so it took 8 years to find them, and I was glad to give them to Jerome Bressler and add them back to the report, which is on one of our banners, and before he died. And thank God that we were able to do it. And in the meantime, here's Dr. Woodrow Monti out looking for him, and somehow he got four more. So now you got six studies showing that every time they did studies on aspartame, it caused birth defects, serious birth defects, even cleft palate. You know, I think Goldie Hawn's thing is that Smile organization. But anyway, and so finally, just recently, he wrote a book, and he put those, the information from the FDA on those studies in the book. And I told him I was getting ready to write on autism, and that he told me I could add the last chapter so you can get to read it if you like. And so now everybody's wondering about this. And then, as you know, I'm of age that there's been a long time since I was a little girl, and they gave you a couple of vaccines. But like Dr. Roberts says today, he says they give a child so many vaccines, his whole immune system is destroyed before he ever gets in school. And then his mother, during pregnancy, used aspartame, creating birth defects. So then Dr. Deagle told me, he said, Betty, he says, we met in 2010, my environmental organization and the European Environmental Association and the Dallas Clinic, and we have decided by the year 2013 there will not be a child born in the Western world that doesn't have some version of autism. That is absolutely the worst quote I've heard from a physician in my life.
I also wanted to mention one other thing as you're talking about the doctors being addicted. And I'm remembering when I was in medical school, I was a surgery resident. So, of course, you know, that's like the toughest residency. You're very rarely able to eat and not get any sleep. And one of the things that they do is, Big Pharma will come in and they'll give you like a free lunch. And, talk to you about whatever drug they want to talk about or whatever procedure, whatever. And, I'm remembering that, Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, that was pretty much the offerings, or, Diet Dr. Pepper, whatever. And so, they actually participate in getting the doctors addicted to this, toxic poison, without them even realizing what's going on. They're just looking at it as, oh, wow, I get to eat, And that's one of the ways they do it.
Are you aware that all the leaders of the free world here in America have been on aspartame or on aspartame, that Obama uses Diet Coke? Bush used so much Diet Coke that when he was in Atlanta here and they interviewed him, that Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he said that he had so little memory that it was as if he needed a cue to answer any question. So, President Clinton was using it, and so Dr. Roberts actually had dinner with President Clinton and gave him some of his books. He says, you got to get off of this Diet Coke. And, of course, as I told you, it causes myocardial infarctions, and that people end up with bypass surgery. My own brother was a Green Beret, and it was bad enough with Agent Orange. And I said, Bob, you're going to have a heart attack. He says, I'm too addicted. He had a heart attack. He ended up with bypass surgery. And, it took a long time to get him off of it. And in the case of Clinton, he ended up with bypass surgery. I even sent a report to the doctor that operated on to him. I faxed a report to Harlem, to his office. And when Hillary Clinton was running for the presidency and using it, I got all the experts to write. I'm so worried about children, to write about how it destroys the brains of children. And it's in a report called Report for Schools. And it's about 42 pages long. And it's on a banner on one of our websites so that we can just email it to Board of Education and whatnot. And she was concerned about children. So I faxed it to every single, Hillary had six offices. Excuse me. And when that happened, somebody called me, too much paper. I said, nope, not enough paper. I want her to read every word of it. And then she was on national TV. She says, I used to drink a lot of Diet Coke, but she said, I don't drink anything but water now. Evidently, she did read it. So then when Michelle, Obama's wife, got into this thing about obesity and not realizing that aspartame which crave carbohydrates so that you gain weight and has caused the epidemic of obesity. Actually, Dr. Roberts wanted her to have his 1,000-page medical text, and I will tell you how. But it was delivered straight to the White House in her hands, and we haven't heard a peep out of her. She didn't even send him a thank you note. So that
I want to mention something in regards to Hillary Clinton. From what I have read, her Rose Law Firm actually represented Monsanto. Isn't that true?
They're all in with Monsanto. But I'll tell you, if somebody is really suffering and they read the report for schools and what it does to your brain, they'll get off of it. And she did. So
right. They'll get off of it, but they won't spread the word about the danger.
But they won't spread the word, yeah. Where she was on national TV, she could say, everybody get off of it. So it's a poison.
Exactly.
You know, but nobody has got that. But what I was trying to point out, and of course this is not a political statement, this is to let you know that all of the presidents of the United States, you know, they've been on aspartame. They may supply it to the White House, because when I was testifying before the Senate in New Mexico, how do you think I felt when I looked around and almost every single senator in front of me was sipping a Diet Coke? They must supply it. And Dr. Stoller also testified with me, and so he just got up and looked at me. He says, I don't think we are going to get very far with all of you sitting in front of us drinking this. He said, but have mercy on the children, which they didn't. And the only thing that I was able to accomplish when I was down there is one of them was diabetic, and I sent such really strong information. She got off of it, and I brought her some Just Like Sugar, which is a product that was made because of me, but it's just food and not additives, and is made out of chicory, which has been used for 70 years to aid the and help improve
and
the
health. And where can people get that? Let's say it again, because you talk too fast. Just Like Sugar. Where can people get that?
I'm sorry. The reason I was talking fast is because there is just so much information. But
I know. But I just want to make sure people
Just Like
that.
Sugar is out in Nevada. Of course, you can get it in Whole Foods all over the United States. And it's now in 52 countries. It is in the UK. And what you can do, you can go to their website, justlikesugarinc.com, and you can put in your zip code or where you are, and it will tell you where you can get it in your city or in your country.
Okay, give that website again, Just Like Sugar. What was after that?
Just Like Sugar, INC, like incorporated, justlikesugarinc.com. Or if you just put Just Like Sugar, it'll come up. And there's actually a movie on there that tells you how it was created. And I have it under Just Like Sugar, I think, and a button at the top of our website, too, of how I went to him and said, look, here is the problem. We get them off of aspartame. Splenda is bad. It's chlorinated sugar, sulfate, potassium, you know, cause cancer and leukemia in original studies. And people say, what in the world am I going to use? Even xylitol in a study in Duke showed brain damage. So anyway, I says, you know, can't you make some, you know, I mean, does it take a rocket science to make something that won't blind or kill you as a sweetener? And he says, I can do that. But anyway, he tells the whole story. And he actually did it. And incidentally, I have no financial association with him. I told him I must remain unbiased. And even Dr. Blaylock says I want this stuff analyzed. And it was analyzed and showed there was nothing in it but, let's see, vitamin C from organic oranges, calcium, chicory, and orange peel. And now they've made an entire system for schools. And it's alkaline water, and it has some kind of little jigger with organic fruits that, you know, they get to play with it. And even the container is made out of corn from the Amazon rainforest, and it's biodegradable, and you can throw it in your garden and make your flowers grow. So they did a good thing.
I would also like to mention there's a natural herb called stevia which has no calories and is a sweetener. The problem with that is it's a little bit bitter, but it's very interesting as I've watched over the years when people started finding out about stevia. Of course, the corporations developed some stevia concoction that has chemicals in it as well. So they've managed to corrupt even stevia to sell
it. Well, let me tell you about it, because I worked to get it on the market.
Okay.
And I worked to get it on the market back when I first got on aspartame, started with aspartame, because, you know, I didn't know what to tell people to use. And if it's straight, unadulterated stevia, it's fine. It helps with the metabolism of sugar. But number one, the first thing is, in Brazil, they add aspartame to it. That's why I use the word unadulterated. Number two, they are putting things in it. And Dr. Blaylock says the only reason, you know, that he doesn't, you know, these reasons, of course, but the fact that it causes hypoglycemia. So, you know, if you got a choice between aspartame and stevia, use stevia, but you need pure green stevia with nothing in it.
Right.
If you're going to use it, because I remember when the Stevita company, which make a good product, they went down there, the FDA, and tried to get them to burn their cookbooks. And of course, I know the man who owns it, and he said, "That's fine. Sit down, have a seat. Let me call the media. We're going to have a bonfire. Let's put it out in the media." And of course, they backed off, and they gave them back their stevia. And now, finally, they say, okay, we hear what you're saying, Coke and Pepsi. We are going to use stevia. Well, let me tell you what they did. And you can get it off our website. Arthur Evangelista investigated it. He's a former FDA investigator who left the FDA because of their corruption and watching them alter reports, you know, so he's really a friend. And mm-hmm. he said this stuff truly is full of chemicals, and it's sweetened up. It has an ingredient of stevia in it, but it's actually sweetened by erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol, and you know, that causes bloating and diarrhea. But the combination of these chemicals, and then we start, when it was on the market, we started getting complaints about that, and there was a journalist who came over from France who did a story about it. In fact, took me down in front of Coca-Cola and took some of the products, and I explained to them what Truvia was. And
Truvia, right. That's the name of the fake stevia, right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the other one is Pepsi is like Truvia. You know, it starts with a P. I'm not pronouncing it right, but...
Okay.
Anyway, so they have one, you know. And,
no, it's not predictable.
You know, one of them is made by Cargill, who has a fluoride factory, so you know I'd use their products. So, you know, if it's not, you know, if you're going to use stevia, you know, I would suggest that you better use it from a company you know where it's not adulterated. And remember that about the hypoglycemia, in case you, like Dr. Blaylock says, you have it. And he was telling people to use xylitol until they did a study at Duke, so brain damage. And so then after the analysis came back on Just Like Sugar, he's written now three times in the Blaylock Wellness Report, finally a safe sweetener. And incidentally, they just now made hot chocolate. And I have to tell you, have I enjoyed that, because, and I think it's on the market now, one of the companies I won't mention has 76 chemicals in it. I finally gave up hot chocolate because they put so much junk in it. And this has nothing but pure organic dark chocolate and pure vanilla and Just Like Sugar. And nothing else.
Is that made by the Just Like Sugar company as well?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, excellent. Well, and I commend you for being, you know, the leader in this effort, because, of course, you know, as I say all the time, and I've been saying for 15 years, there's natural solutions for everything. And that's why education of people is so important. And to go on your website, mpwhi.com, you know, get ready to spend a few days there to really absorb the information. But this is a life changer for people.
Yes, it is. And people in the UK, I hope, will email me not only for the Aspartame Resource Guide, but to let me get them in touch with Jim McDonald over there on the methanol issue, and especially if they are, you know, victims, because we want to help them and get them well before. But this has become a big issue, and EFSA, it's just like you didn't tell them anything about the methanol. It is a very, very serious problem, and it's 35%.
And let me just say, not only to help them, but see, the problem is we have with all of our elected government, representatives, our public servants, what a joke. Since they're so highly funded by these corporations, there has to be a mass outcry. You need significant numbers. And just like you said, so many of them are drinking this crap themselves, because I'm sure it's not just the U.S., Congress that it's being supplied to for free. I'm sure this is happening everywhere. But if they hear from hundreds of thousands of their, voters and saying, hey, I went off this crap and now I'm feeling much, much better, we demand that you do something about it. I mean, that's the only way that these people are going to actually take action, because otherwise, you know, the funds that are being stuffed in their back pocket are always going to rule.
Well, I'll tell you some good news. At least it'll give you a good laugh of what I did in the UK. EFSA had a call for data. They didn't want to redo the review, and but Parliament insisted. So anyway, I had gotten Dr. Roberts all these other studies and his 30 years of research and everything. And so, I sent EFSA, show him. I said, look, here's the problem. Almost 100% of all independent studies show the problems and show aspartame to be unsafe. Therefore, how can you say it's safe? Here are all the studies. However, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt there was no way they'd ever let Parliament in the UK ever see those studies. And so they didn't know it, but I went ahead and I got emails for the entire UK Parliament, the European Parliament, which is the one that was interested, and the Scottish Parliament. And as I sent everything to EFSA, I sent a blind copy to every member of Parliament. Now, when they got out, they said, in an interest of openness and honesty, here are all the studies. And what do you think they showed? All the industry studies, a lot of which had been fixed, that we have on the Aspartame Toxicity Center, showing how they did it. I mean, to give you just an example so that people wonder, how will industry show something that's poison and show it to be safe? So many people are having seizures that, that Monsanto wanted to show that they weren't. So they did a study. The study was 18 people. They were so afraid of them having a seizure, they gave 16 of them anti-seizure medication. And this study was for one tablet, for one day. It's sort of like tantamount to smelling the bottle. That's how they do things. And then they get it in a peer-reviewed journal and say, hey, this thing's been peer-reviewed. Must not cause seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Dr. Roberts, imagine how much of the population is taking a seizure-triggering drug. And incidentally, it interacts with anti-seizure medication. But in any event, we went to the World Congress here when they had the conference of physicians and surgeons, and we went to the workshops, and we went to one in neurology, and the professor got up and he says, doctors, tell me, why are people all over this country having seizures for absolutely no reason at all? No reason at all. He says, I don't care if your answer is off the wall. I've got to know, why are people having seizures for no reason? And Dr. Roberts says, okay, Betty, tell him. I said, no, Dr. Roberts, you tell him. You're the doctor. He says, no, you tell him. So, so I just said, well, Professor, the reason is that, it's got 50% phenylalanine and it is a neurotoxin, as an isolate, and it lowers the seizure threshold. And actually, seizures are caused by all three components, the methanol and the aspartic acid. All three of them will cause seizures. And we have Mission Possible Aviation because pilots are having seizures in the cockpits of commercial airliners. And your life's in the hands of the pilot. And so he says, I thought this was only in rare cases of phenylketonuria. I says, no, everybody's got a seizure threshold. And then another physician raised his hand. He says, Professor, he said, I'm afraid she's right. He says, I'm a physician and I'm a pilot, and I have a friend who flies commercial and drinks Diet Coke and has seizures in flight. And he says, we have to report him. He says, it is true that the population is using a seizure-triggering drug.
Okay, if I could just chime in here, I want to bring up another thing. First of all, vaccines are also known to cause seizures, so as I always say, it's the big picture. But another thing that was very interesting to me, I had a situation back before I went to medical school. I used to wear mascara, and I was using a toothpick to separate my eyelashes, and I developed a corneal abrasion. I went to the ER. They put this fluorescein crap on my cornea. It was so painful, I actually passed out. The person that witnessed this thought I'd had a seizure. So all of a sudden, the seizure workup begins. Now, one of the things that was done as a part of the seizure workup was they put me in front of a strobe light to see if they could actually activate the seizures. And they didn't. And luckily, I wasn't branded with that label. Fast forward a few years, has anybody else noticed how those bubbles on top of first responder vehicles, they used to be just, those red and white lights that circled around. Now they all have strobe lights. And when I saw that, there was a moment that I realized that is the same strobe frequency that they tested me with to see if they could induce a seizure. So it's just so evil. What's going on? Because they're giving vaccines which cause seizures, they're giving aspartame which lowers the seizure threshold, and then anybody out in the road is seeing these strobe lights on emergency responder vehicles, and that could actually induce a seizure. So I just wanted to bring that up. But as you're bringing up the phenylketonurics, just to go further into this black hole of evil that's going on with these companies, this brings up the topic of Neotame, which I have a document on here, which has been described by Dr. McCullough as aspartame on steroids. But one of the selling points of it is that it's 13,000 times sweeter than table sugar and 30 times sweeter than aspartame, but it does not produce phenylalanine. So this is how they're selling this to people who are phenylketonurics. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I know, and there is a doctor that did the beta reports, and when Neotame first they started talking about it, I immediately took the formula and sent it to him. He said, Biddy, they just scrambled it, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems. And there is some question about whether it's even going to be labeled. And so I wrote a Freedom of Information about it. And, of course, the FDA refuses to answer me, just like when I did an imminent health hazard, which has to be answered in a week. And they wrote me back and said they had more important things to do. And incidentally, I just wrote a report on the FDA, which is probably going to come out next week, that you will enjoy reading on.
Will you be sending that? Wait, I just want to mention that brings up another very important topic, that you have a list, and people can get on your list. I'm on her list, and you're going to be sending that out to the list because I definitely want to read that puppy.
Yeah, it is. It was Natural Cures that asked me to write an article, and I picked the FDA, and so they will be publishing it this week. But anyway, this makes me think of something that people need to know that's very important. There's two things, one on vaccine, one on aspartame, is that Mr. Pape, that used to head the National Soft Drink Association, actually heads now the National Yogurt Association, and he has petitioned twice the FDA to allow aspartame in dairy products and yogurt without labeling.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. Isn't it true? I don't know if I read this from one of your mailings, but I thought that they're now gone as far into the corruption realm that they're actually labeling aspartame-laced foods as natural flavorings.
That's where they had it. In that, well, for instance, I called Mars. I said, is aspartame in your products? And they said, well, yes, it's in Mars Bar. I said, I don't see it on the label. He said it's under natural flavors. Anything that's artificial or natural flavors, that's where they had MSG and aspartame, if they don't want you to know it's in there, and anything else that they don't want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA, for instance, said that Cinemex does not have to be labeled. It goes under artificial flavors. And Cinemex, of course, is another flavor enhancer like MSG made with aborted beetle cells.
Right.
So, you know, I tell people and I that if I were them, I would not use the products it's in, like Heinz and Coke and Pepsi. Of course, we boycott the soft drink companies anyway.
Well, and I just want to underline what you just said, because it's true for chewing gum as well. People that are aware of the danger of, you know, sugar-free gum, they may be chewing regular gum, and regular gum has aspartame in it too. So that's what goes to show you their nefarious intent in putting it in there, because as you wrote in one of the documents you sent out, of course, when you're actually taking it in a buccal exposure, that's like a direct link right to the brain. It's like a homeopathic introduction of this poison to your brain. And isn't it strange that they would be putting aspartame in sugared gum?
Well, yes. And if you Google, the easiest way to do this is to Google aspartame and absorption and read Dr. Roberts' report about that. It works like nitroglycerin under the tongue, goes through saliva straight to the brain. And they did a TV expo here in Atlanta one time with someone who had never had aspartame. And somebody handed them a sugar-free piece of gum, and they immediately had a grand mal seizure. So that's the case. And in 2004, Wrigley's was sued for racketeering because they'd been told and told and told. And those people who have now sold to Mars turned around and actually put, after that, so you can't say they didn't know, put it in all of Wrigley's gums except for two. And in fact, I was talking to the Just Like Sugar Company, and I said, you know how many kids use gum? I said, it's hard to find any of them. It's one of the worst products. And he says, okay, we'll make gum with Just Like Sugar, so there'll be something safe for kids. Thank God.
Okay, wait. Can you give us the names of those gums?
Well, they're just making them now. They'll be available very soon. You would have to email the Just Like Sugar Company. But there was something else that's very important I'd like to say on this show having to do with vaccines that really has me irritated, is that, and that is lately I noticed all these signs on drugstores like Walgreens, and it says, get your shingle, vaccine here. And Dr. Blaylock got in touch with me. He said, Betty, please warn people. It's a live virus. It will give them shingles. And Dr. Roberts' sister took it, and she got shingles a week later. And I just got an email about somebody else who took it and got it a week later. So I want people to, that's one thing I want people to know. And it was Dr. Blaylock, you know, during that flu when in America, I tell you, I was so upset with the FDA, you know, pregnant women and children first on the flu vaccine. And he said, Betty, you've got to warn them, you know, of what this is going to do to the fetus. And because I put out Dr. Blaylock's paper, I kept getting emails because, you know, they had my email on it. And people within hours that were pregnant went out there and got that flu vaccine, all got lost their babies.
Right. And I just want to say two things. First of all, I saved every note and every transcript I had from medical school. I oftentimes go back there to find the lies. But interestingly, I went to medical school in the early 80s. 84 through 87, we were actually taught that you never vaccinate a child before 6 months of age, and you never vaccinate a pregnant woman. So I would love to know, how did they twist and spin that to where now they're doing that exact same thing? But, of course, in fact, the miscarriage rate from women, and this goes into the whole depopulation agenda, the miscarriage rate from women who took this flu vaccine while pregnant is off the charts. And
yes.
I actually saved, I watch a lot of C-SPAN and tape it, you know, just as the talking heads are putting out their propaganda. Kathleen Sebelius of the HHS actually went on camera right when this was coming out, and I did over 1,000 shows during that time, warning people, nobody should be taking this garbage. But she actually made a statement telling people that if it appeared that the miscarriage rate went up, you know it's not from the vaccine because it's been proven to be safe. So they try to cover their bases.
Well, you know, what they're doing to children today, I almost had a fit when I saw the mother's law, because they wanted pregnant women to use psychiatric antidepressants and whatnot. And then you turn on the TV and they said, if you used an antidepressant during pregnancy, call this law firm. And now,
right.
I don't
know. Wait a minute. I just want to say, because I see that all the time as well. But one thing people should notice, that in almost every case, the very drugs that they're saying, if you took such and such and you have, you know, a child with a deformity, whatever, those drugs are still being sold on the market and they're still being prescribed to pregnant women. So obviously the law firms are doing this because they have enough proof that they caused the defects, but the FDA doesn't stop it, do they?
No, and I don't know if you saw the note that came out today. Sometimes you just want to put your head between your legs and weep, and I had to read it twice, and it's a news clip. But they're actually, because of the obesity epidemic, that they're now going to give pregnant women drugs so their babies won't get diabetes and be obese.
Right.
God knows what it is. I said, I can't believe what they are doing to the poor, innocent, you know, baby.
Okay. And we're running out of time so fast, because that what you just said now brings up the Wizard of Oz,
yes.
One of my arch nemesis. So we have to get into him a little bit. And, I read Dr. Martini's unbelievable emails on a regular basis. Such an excellent source of information. Definitely get on her list. But on March 12th, I monitor Dr. Oz. I try to watch him every day. This shill for Big Pharma that Oprah has deemed America's doctor and who took over her time slot. On March 12th of this year, I wrote Betty this little quirp here. The Wizard of Oz covered synthetic sweeteners on his show today. He admitted they cause increased food consumption and therefore weight gain, but stated that claims of cancer or neurological problems has been proved to be not true, and that this puppet for Big Pharma also promotes vaccines, and as Mike Adams has reported, owns stock options in vaccine companies. He promotes electroshock therapy, birth control pills to prevent cancer. To address a few of his lies, he weaves into his promotion of a few supplements and herbs to hoodwink the masses. He is leading the sleeping masses astray for cash. And let me just quickly mention a few other things that he's promoted on his shows. Electroshock therapy, microwaves. He tells people to buy the cheapest supplements you can buy. He actually received an alleged H1N1 vaccine on his show, although I'm sure it was just sterile water. He says screaming S-H-I-T to... will help you decrease your stress, which I found very, very hilarious. On January 17th, he asked a question, who's spiking our supplements? And what were the supplements being spiked with? Allegedly analog drugs, especially Chinese herbs for weight loss. And his solution was to have the FDA require testing of all supplements. Basically promoting the FDA. But one of the most shocking shows that he did, he had Montel Williams on, who used to talk about how he got vaccines, and I'm sure he was drinking aspartame, too, before he got his MS. And what did he have Montel Williams on his show? Talking about how people have a right for euthanasia if they want to kill themselves. But I just want to ask you, Dr. Martini, when you sent Dr. Oz this email, which you sent out to your list as well, and from talking to you before the show, you said that somebody that you know that lives near him actually threw it over his fence, asking him the hard question as to why he's not apologizing to the public with all the facts available that aspartame is a multi-potential carcinogen, and hiding the facts that aspartame causes cancer, etc. Did Dr. Oz, the wizard, ever reply to you?
Well, absolutely not. And I have found, since I've, you know, all the sellouts, I always write to them so that they can never say, oh, I was just ignorant. But, you see, I had already written Dr. Oz a few days earlier because he actually was telling people to use sugar-free gum. And I was just furious at him and wrote
a
letter.
And let me say why he was promoting it to decrease acid reflux. And of course, go ahead. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I saw that too.
It was just unbelievable. And I said, I told him, I said, I am just shocked. Because I know, you know, somebody like Dr. Oz, who's on TV, is well-researched. You know, if you were doing something about aspartame and you didn't know anything about it, the first thing you do is go to Google and put in aspartame. How many articles are you going to get? Almost 7 million. And then all you've got to do is go to cancer or neurological, and all these doctors, all these studies. So you know absolutely emphatically that he knows. But the first letter was, you know, not bad. I said, you know, I know you're well-researched. I can't imagine. And I sent him Dr. Roberts' report on absorption and everything. And, of course, I didn't get an answer. You might be interested to know that the first lady that, you know, the one that got it thrown over his fence is someone who called me that I met a couple of years ago, and I picked up the phone, and she says, I'm dying. And I said, excuse me? She says, I just pulled over to the side of the road, and I know that I'm dying, and I have congestive heart failure. And I said, are you using aspartame? She said, yes. I said, have you just taken flu vaccine? She said, yeah, just a few minutes ago. And, you know, I was telling about the combination because immediately, you know, she just almost couldn't get herself home. And incidentally, today she is free. She's off everything, and she's free of all her problems. But in any event, she was the first one that alerted me, and she says, he lives near me. And I'm going to make sure he gets this because I sent this to his show using the URL that you had. And I told him, I said, you know, you might as well make sure that he gets this because my emails go all over the world, and I knew that he was going to get it. One way or the other, that he was going to see it, and he better well know it. And of course, you know, he never answered. And I mean, to say a thing like that, it really is, you know, after 20 years, it's pretty much accepted. I was real pleased when, some movie makers came down from another country, on July 4th, and we went to the park. And I didn't see, because this is my city, Atlanta, I don't think I saw but four Diet Cokes, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And all of them said, I know it's bad, I know it's bad. I said, we've really done our homework. And for a doctor like Dr. Oz, you know, who researches everything, he absolutely had to know. He was just absolutely lying to the public. And so I told him he ought to go wash his mouth out with soap. I said, just think of the people that he could influence that might not know and would use it and could take their life. So,
well, wait, I have to comment on that because that's what proves he's a shill. And see, I'm studying him to see how, you know, mainstream media is using him, to, you know, to talk about a few herbs here, a few herbs there, you know, a couple of natural things that may help you. Although, like I said, he tells people to buy the cheapest supplements you can find. You know, go to Walmart, which, of course, we know they're all doctored with all kinds of negative things like magnesium stearate, titanium dioxide, etc. And the bottom line is, as long as he's not warning people of the dangers, like you said, Dr. Martini, 92 side effects that have been proven to be caused by aspartame, and he's admitting that it actually may cause weight gain. So that's what makes people think, oh, he's exposing this. You know, he's a good guy. But he's not talking about all the rest of the stuff. That's what he does. Like I said, he promotes microwaves, electroshock therapy. When I saw that show, I fell off my chair. I was like, oh, my God. You know, how far is this guy going to go? But the bottom line is, this is a big pharma shill who, as Mike Adams, the Natural News reporter, Health Ranger, has found through his research, actually owns stock options, which will be worth millions from his vaccine connections within a few years. As long as he keeps promoting vaccines, aspartame, and all this other crap, it doesn't matter how many herbs they take. It doesn't matter anything else that they do, because they will still have diseases, and big pharma and big medicine will continue to, you know, reap billions of dollars off these poor, ignorant masses that he's basically hoodwinked with his show that he has all these ridiculous props and stuff. It is disgusting.
I know. And, you know, when I was lecturing in the UK one year, someone let me talk to a pharmaceutical whistleblower, and I never forgot it. And he says, Betty, just remember one thing. There are three things every pharmaceutical company know, you know, in the world about drugs. Number one is that aspartame is a deadly poison. Number two is that chemotherapy does not work. And number three, that tamoxifen does not stop the spread of cancer. It gives you cancer.
Well, and so does chemotherapy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, so, but I remember that they know, and to show you they know, take somebody, like one of the worst is Merck. I mean, you get to Monsanto, you know they're bad. But Merck, you know, headache is number one on the FDA list. And so the patient goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, let me give you something for a headache. Let me give you Maltex. Maltex has aspartame in it. So you write the company, and you tell them you got to take it out. It causes headaches, you know, and lots of people besides me wrote. So they knew it, and they refused to do it. So somebody did a study on it. And, of course, the result was as you would expect it, and it said that the headache gets worse with Maltex with aspartame. So that they even had a study on it, and Merck said, nope, they're still not taking it out. So they're doing it on purpose. It's Agenda 21, the New World Order. You know, how many people can they
depopulate? Let me just mention, very important information for people. One of the best ways to get rid of headaches is to make sure you're properly hydrated. Just drinking water can get rid of headaches. And this is why they have actually made it, you know, and it's the same thing in many schools, although I know you're instrumental in changing this. The children are going for the soda machines. So they're not drinking water. They're drinking soda. And, of course, they're getting dehydrated, and they're getting headaches. And then they go to their doctors, like you said, and then they get the drugs. And what often happens is that most of these drugs actually cause the very problem for which the drugs are given. And so when that drug doesn't work, they don't take you off the drug. They give you a cocktail. They add something else and something else. And this is how we've gotten into the situation we find ourselves in today. It is pure evil. And I'm glad you mentioned Agenda 21, too, Dr. Martini, because this is the New World Order, depopulation, getting the slave work unit the sick as possible, because as the bloodline psychopaths take off their masks, they want everybody so sick or so neurologically compromised that they can't stand up and say no. And that's what has to happen. They have to say no.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to tell you my vaccine story, though. I was in the hospital recently, and I had pneumonia. And I was kind of upset that in the hospitals, you know, you got the dietitians and you've got all the everything it seemed they brought had aspartame in it, and they had a big sign on the door, no aspartame. So we set up my room as the hospital's medical library. I mean, my husband was even putting articles on the ceiling. And somebody actually came in there and said, would you like a pneumonia vaccine? I said, don't go there. Don't go there. And, you know, the doctors were talking about the flu vaccine. So I took Dr. Blaylock's paper on, you know, you take so many flu vaccines and you pretty much can end up with Alzheimer's. And so they kept talking to me about vaccines, and I kept giving it out to all the doctors. Well, anyway, I got very ill, and they called a code 3. And, of course, everybody came running, every doctor on the floor, just all the different services. And I said, well, now that I've called this meeting, I'd like to give out my paper from Dr. Blaylock on flu vaccine and Alzheimer's. They were there. They were looking at the books, and they were picking up papers. So, and they were sending people in there and other doctors, and so we educated the hospital. But that's how I did it. I thought you would enjoy hearing that.
That's a beautiful story. However, knowing how corrupt the medical devils, as Dr. B.J. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, calls MDs. You see, unfortunately, they may take the information and use that for their own personal situation, but unfortunately, they keep promoting this garbage to the public. And in fact, yes, flu vaccines and pneumonia vaccines have mercury and aluminum, those ingredients, as well as aspartame and mycoplasma and other things, are what causes Alzheimer's. And so this is how they're getting the elderly off the dole, since Congress has totally stolen the Medicare, quote-unquote, trust fund, easier to just kill these people off. So give them Alzheimer's, stick them in a nursing home, and then, you know, it's just a matter of time before they end up with a mismatched blood transfusion or a drug cocktail or whatever the case may be. So people have to be able to see the nefarious intent of these individuals. What I would strongly suggest to you is that you check out that Silver Lung site. That's a link on my reversingvaccineinducediseases.com website, because what's amazing to me is that they haven't taken you out. To get rid of pneumonia, all you have to do is get a nebulizer and put colloidal silver in it. But I know what a warrior you are, and just like I do, you know, you use the situation to educate others. But I would love for you. I would love for you to go back to that hospital and ask these doctors and nurses how many of them are now warning people about the information you shared with them. I would guess probably zero.
Well, I'll tell you something I ask people, I always tell them makes a difference, is that in this world today with so many chemicals and so many poisons, I says you have to be an activist. And I said that if you know, some people go through life and they never save one life. And I remember that when the flu vaccine was going on, they had a table out in front of the grocery store, and they were giving the flu vaccine, and they had people lined up.
Yeah.
And so it's on Hawkins, in fact, you know, he died, but he wrote about this. And so anyway, and I keep all this stuff in my car, and I had Dr. Blaylock's report, and I came out, and I gave out a few of them, and I said to people out loud, I said, take enough of this and you'll get Alzheimer's. Or it may, you know, your immune system may be so bad, you just end up with the flu anyway. But I says, I wouldn't take this. And the people were getting furious. But I want to tell you that every single one of them walked away. Every single one that was going to get a flu shot walked away from that table. And the woman says, do you see what you did to all these people that should have had their flu shot? I said, well, you must not have heard what I said. If you don't believe it, think how much more there is for you. So I just left. But it stopped all those people from getting that. And they took the papers, and they took my aspartame papers. And sometimes it works, because I know that when my husband was in the hospital, this man came in and hugged me and kissed me, and I looked around, and I said, do we know each other? And he says, you don't know who I am? I said, no. He says, you stopped by ambulance. I said, yes, I do things like that. He says, well, he says, I took your magazine. He said, we were all on aspartame. And he said, you were right when you said that the people we were picking up were probably aspartame victims. We all got off of it and got well, and we started teaching all other paramedics about aspartame that didn't know. So you never know when you drop a seed what's going to happen.
Yes. Oh,
so
I do that
I
all the
people,
time. Whenever I'm out and about, I always put my business cards on especially the ambulance drivers, vehicles, if they're stopped someplace, or give them to them, because, you know, they have no clue. You know, they're being lied to about everything.
Absolutely.
But, of course, they're being forced to give the tetanus vaccine, and the hepatitis B vaccine is being taken by them as well, and the whole aspartame thing. You know, and that's why I always tell people, you got to check these things out. If you're counting on the agencies to protect you. If I hear that the FDA has approved something, that's when I start laughing. I'm like, okay, I'm not at all interested that the Fraudulent Drug Administration has said this is safe, because basically turn it around 180 degrees is probably killing people. That's the state of affairs. And it's the lower level people, the nurses especially, the first responders, the paramedics, the fire department. Also, I give a lot of information to them as well. These are the people that can help spread the word. That they are becoming an army because they have a conscience. They are trying to do the right thing, and they need to know that they've been lied to.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad you do all this, but I would expect it of you. It's just that we need to get people to understand that they can't just watch people taking these things without opening their mouth. And that's why we write so many articles on my website. For instance, under you'll see we have a slot up there for vaccines. So any of your stuff you want to put up there, send it to me and we'll add it. So we have articles on aspartame, articles on MSG, articles on, you know, safe sweeteners, anything they want. So all they've got to do is copy it wherever they are, especially around holidays, like it's Easter today. Can you imagine how many people are, you know, having parties and using these products, and they'll be sick, and the hospital emergency rooms tonight will be full. So
right. And how many people are eating the Cadbury Easter eggs that have aborted fetal cells in them? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
See, that's,
it's unbelievable.
So this is what we have to do, and if we can get more people to do it, and that's why I know this program is in the UK, and I want to get a lot of people to help this brave man that is warning about the menthol. And incidentally, Proposition 65 in California, it says if a product has menthol in it or formaldehyde, it cannot come into the state of California, and they do not enforce it. My letter to them about it is on the aspartame information guide, but they can do. But if the UK does something, others will follow suit. So I hope people there will get in touch with me and let me get them in touch with Jim McDonald's, who is really making a difference in the UK.
Well, and let me just say, the show is out of the UK, but it is an international show.
Right.
But also for people in other countries, because, you know, you're the warrior in this country and you've done a massive job, but other countries need to start doing this as well. And I'm sure he could inform people in other countries about how he started going and what he's doing, so we can make this a global affront against the poisoners. That's what we have to do. Because,
well, that's why we have operations in 43 countries, and Corinne over in France, she lectures to thousands in France. And France is, we have an informant who said that's what they did. They took all these studies, since they all showed aspartame to be a poison, and they sent them to France. And she said she was the one that shredded the copies, and this lady named Jana. So, you know, and people in France just didn't know until Corinne became Mission Possible France. So it is getting around in many, many countries, and of course I travel and leave information in all these countries. In fact, I went to one of these places, Albania, and you know, you just don't think of countries like that. And there wasn't a lot of people that spoke English, but as soon as I said, aspartame? You know, several of them said to me, poison. So even
wow.
in other countries, it's picking it up. I told Donna that I just couldn't believe it, that we went to countries that were, you know, most people just don't go to, and they already knew about aspartame.
All right. Well, actually, you just made me think of a very important question I wanted to ask you. It's not gotten so insane now that there's an aspartame mandate that you have to drink 10 Diet Cokes on your flights to other countries. But unfortunately, and I did a show yesterday where somebody called in and was telling me that, you know, he was being mandated to get a vaccine to travel to the Philippines, which, of course, you know, a lot of countries are doing now. So if you could give any suggestions as you travel all over the world, how do you protect yourself from having to get vaccinated just to go to another country?
Well, I haven't had that problem. But if I did, the first person I would call is Ingrid at Vax Lib, because they have forms and they have all this information. And someone recently, I think I put it on our list, showed how you can not have to get vaccinations. And she would send you all the information and all the forms on what you could do. Because,
okay.
But I have, fortunately, haven't done that anyway. It's back. Vaclib.org, I think it is, or they could email me. And anytime it's come down to somebody pushing a vaccine, I always refer them to her, and she's always helped them. And Barbara Malarkey in Chicago does the same thing. She has a company there, too, as well. And so that's
okay, and let me just say, we're getting a question. Somebody Skyped in from the audience. How does a parent go about refusing vaccines for the newborn? I just want to suggest an excellent book that I tell people about. It's called Your Personal Guide to Immunization Exemptions by Grace Girdwain, G-I-R-D-W-A-I-N. And you can check this out by going to Dorrance, D-O-R-R-A-N-C-E, publishing.com. But the bottom line is, what I tell people to do, because as I teach people how to reverse vaccine-induced disease, one of the things I found is that if you go into the hospital and you are having a baby, if you tell them you are anti-vaccine, they will vaccinate your baby anyways. Because when you sign into the hospital, you have to read those forms. You're actually signing that you will let them do anything that they feel is in your best interest, which, of course, is actually in Big Pharma's interest. What I tell people, what I would do if I was they, is to tell them, you're going to wait until the child is a little bit older, you know, 6 months or so. The child's not going to daycare. The child's not going to school, obviously. So you're going to wait until the child is older and, you know, you've done the breastfeeding and all the rest of it. And if you do that, if you don't tell them you're anti-vaccine, they're much more likely to not vaccinate your child. But just telling them that you're, you know, against vaccines is actually going to cause a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you might want to say something about Gardasil, because I got so upset when I heard this story when someone called me and said they were in a doctor's office for something or other and without asking the parents' permission gave the child Gardasil and told them their child now would not be able to have children. And,
well, isn't that interesting? Because I've been talking for a long time about Gardasil. It's going to cause a massive increase in cervical cancer. It's going to cause infertility. It's causing death. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, it's one of the worst vaccines they've ever created. But I'm sure that you're aware, Dr. Martini, in California, and I don't have the number of the bill in front of me, but recently they actually passed a law that the girls can be vaccinated with Gardasil in school without the parents' consent. And
I
that
know,
is
I've, yes, and, you know, and I've heard that they're even the ones that were being homeschooled, you know, to get away from that, that they're even mandating that. I've heard so many horror stories that, you know, it's hard to raise a child and protect them these days. I mean, you
well,
really
people
have
to learn. Okay, wait, I have to say, people have to take control of their lives.
Right.
They have to say no. I mean, just because some government agency says you have to do something or some, you know, doctor threatens to turn you over to child predator services or whatever the case may be, your job as a parent is to protect your children. Educate yourself. Say no. If enough people would do that, Dr. Martini, things would change in a heartbeat. But people
exactly.
are cowering. They're cowering. They're saying, well, I don't want a problem. Okay, yeah, go ahead and vaccinate my child. They end up with all autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, or genetic damage. And that's the payoff that they get for not standing up. And that is my main frustration. And then, like you said, they go to schools. They're getting the GMO food. They're getting the Diet Colas and the machines and all the rest of the stuff. You know, people have to start doing the right thing for themselves, even if they don't have the courage to speak out like we do, at least protect your own family. That's your job.
You know what? That's exactly why I got that report for schools, because every mother that's got a child in school, they, you know, and I tell them, send it to the Board of Education, give it to your teacher, give it to your principal, give it to the cafeteria, give it to the PTA, and let them know. And tell your child. And I said, and educate your child. I said, this is the only way we have to help you. So it you know, it got it out of the Chicago grammar school and middle school, that paper. So it does work. If people would just, you know, we've done all the work. We've gotten the doctors to write all the reports. All you got to do is hand it to the right people.
Exactly. And also realize it's the big picture. I heard a chilling report on some mainstream talking head station today about how many children have cell phones, which of course has been proven to cause brain cancer as you're holding this high frequency device up to your temporal lobe. But you know, most of the children in school have cell phones as well. So always realize, people, it's the big picture.
Big picture.
Yeah, I'm so grateful to Dr. Martini. I haven't met her personally yet. I hope one day too. She's one of my heroes. What she has done in regards to this aspartame, and let's just give another quick shout-out to MSG as well, because Dr. Blalock talks about that as an excitotoxin as well. Get his book, Excitotoxins, and learn about how they're hiding MSG in your food as well. They've come up with, I think it's like 40 or 50 different names for it, because they know people are educating themselves, and so they're actually coming up with different names for things, and this is how these agencies work. And if
and
Obama...
Incidentally,
go ahead. We're almost out of time.
I know you're out of time, but it's in the IVs in the hospital. You know, Jack Samuel's just dad who has the MSG site, although that the site will always remain. It was even in the dextrose. They had to use Ringer's lactate. And Dr. Blalock says, tell them to put magnesium in the IVs. People won't end up with heart attacks and strokes. But there is MSG in the IVs in the hospital, and you have to check that out if you're going in for surgery.
Okay, I have to go throw up now, Dr. Martini. I did not know about that. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much. Like I said, you're one of my heroes. Keep up the good work. Everybody, check out her website. It is such so packed with information, mpwhi.com. Get on her email list. Spread the word, people, because there's more of us than there are of the psychopaths who are trying to decrease the population. And I know that truth will win out in the end. So thank you so much, Dr. Martini, and keep up the good work.
And thank you, Dr. Carly. You're just wonderful. And thank you for all that you do to get the word
okay.
out.
Okay. Okay. All right. Keep in touch. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As if it is injected in them.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
I put the needle to the record because the needle is defective. And the needle breaks the record when the needle is defective. The prevention of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method feeds the fever. See the leader. Diseases are invented in the lab. One believes it. Or reading recent.
dimensions of the depths. Is it in a grand scab of corruption and lies and taking views of bills and newsroom into the public eye? But now the floor has risen on the cause of autism. Doctors show research and scores of flaws with them. It's mercury and vaccines. Often there's more given, peace ignored and forbidden, cause profit is war driven. A score billion on vaccines alone, and the government don't care. They're always taxing the clones, and the CDC is right behind this rolling car. Part involved from the start in this evolving art. Big pharma, big deception, Obama, big karma. Enter wise, Roach, Bayer, and Baxter Healthcare. All assorted history on stacks of health scares. You got HIV and bird flu, mixed up in the shops. I've been connecting the dots between the money that swaps. Conspiracy? Yeah, I sense a couple of plots.
If you never want to get the swine flu, don't go get the swine flu vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if the doctor says, then make him take it himself. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
And if Obama says, then make him take it himself. Just say no.
I
don't need your prescription, I ain't got no reflection. Corporate pharmaceutical dealing with politicians. Put them on prescription, and that should be our own decision. Whether we were spending on vaccines or health and education. Soon they enlist the general populace. They adding to the list pharmaceutical benefits. Yo, Alexa Finland, Glasgow Smith's crime. Off the mic and fine, killing senior disease. Mac, how coffin, better swine. Your population link with holding vaccines. Rather let a product lapse and save some human beings. Now that this, they're counting the beans. So they want to hear us when we're running on the machine. Yeah. Another flu pill, that ain't our biggest threat. What about an aging population with no safety net? So we continue to believe everything we read. They're just a human case, can they be seen?
Weapons of trial and error. We're smiling in terror at the doctor and nurse. Take a hold of yourself and control of your health and say no.
No, why don't you go first?
One little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
If the doctor says, yes, make him take it himself.
Say no, no, no. Say no to the vaccine.
There's one little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
If Obama says, yes, make him take it himself. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
Don't get any injection. You never know what's in them. They're all poison.
Put the needle on the record.
And there's no record that they ever prevent anything.
The vaccine manufacturers need approximately 8 to 9 months to produce the amount of vaccine that's going to be required for immunizing the at-risk populations. And so we have to make our recommendations almost a year in advance.
Tja, you need to stand up for your rights.
Was I? Conspiracies, secret ops and spy stations, and the catchword of the year, depopulation. But humans generally are hard to kill, even with the jar of pills. That's why the politicians have to pass the bills for compulsory Gardasil. From Malta to Dargaville and Fardasil, another bill protects this evil Gardasil. Make a murder from liability for illness or death that may occur. Cause infertility and cancer are hidden inside the brick, and immune disorders have you get ridden, retired and sick. Research is your friend, knowledge keeping is king. Every vaccine has a poison dollar deep in a sting. There's no master flu, they're just after me and you. The last dance of June, now they mask a see-through SARS with a cheap sweet through the swine flu. A scam too, designed to make $1 trillion on out-of-date Tamiflu. Manufactured viruses, biological warfare, psychological torture, gel the jet, our bodies are designed to fight those bugs intruding, but only when our diet is right, so don't shove your food in.
In 1976, it was thought we were on the brink of another major flu outbreak. Medical science appeared to be prepared. The experts planned to use their best weapon yet, prevention with the flu vaccine. 500 soldiers in Fort Dix, New Jersey, came down with the flu in February of 1976. Private David Lewis died, and it was determined that he had suffered from swine flu. At the time, it was feared that approximately 500 other soldiers on the base were ill with the same strain of influenza, and the alarm was sounded. In March 76, President Gerald Ford announced the biggest immunization program in history.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States.
Ford's intention was to vaccinate every man, woman, and child in the United States. Vaccine was rushed into production and imported in great quantities. The cost was to be about $135 million. And the first batch of vaccine was delivered on November 1st. The first public swine flu clinic opened 3 weeks later. From the beginning, the program was criticized for being hastily implemented and unnecessary. But over 50 million people in North America were inoculated at a cost of $100 million before investigators discovered an apparent increase in a rare paralytic disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome among the recently vaccinated. This and the fact that the epidemic failed to materialize led to a quick end to the vaccination program in December 1976.
Researchers and experts now fear that the failure of the swine flu epidemic to materialize in 76 will have detrimental effects on preparations for future pandemics. Dr. Arthur Silverstein was an advisor to the U.S. Senate Health Committee in 1976 and has written a book about the swine flu scare. Dr. Silverstein, you called your book about the experiences of 76 pure politics, impure science. Why is that the right image for those experiences?
I think it's the right image because whereas one didn't then and still doesn't know all that much about the science of influenza virus, one knows a fair amount about how politics works in Washington. And politics worked very smoothly, although the science did not.